Welcome to the Paleo View. I'm Stacy Toth of PaleoParents.com and author of two paleo cookbooks. The first, Eat Like Dinosaur, kid-friendly gluten-free recipe and guidebook, and Beyond Bacon, recipes that respect the whole hog.
And I'm Sarah Ballantyne, also known as the Paleo Mom. I have a background in medical research, and I love to write approachable explanations of the whys behind the paleo diet. I'm also the author of two upcoming books, The Paleo Approach, which is a complete guide to managing autoimmune disease using diet and lifestyle, and the companion guide, The Paleo Approach Cookbook.
News and Views, where Sarah and I catch up, and you get to listen to our gossip. This week on the Paleo View, we're joined by the absolutely gorgeous, but trumped by her beauty is her awesome brains and wit. So welcome to the podcast, Liz Wolf.
Who are you talking about?
Also, best hair in paleo. I called it yesterday.
Totally.
Where did that come from?
Randomly, that- by seeing your photograph?
That came from me watching... the video that you did congratulating me on the book and like your crazy awesome hair and me deciding that I wanted that hair more than about anything else in my entire life. And then basically in this like crazy like jealousy desire of hairness emotion, I decided I should like shout it to the world that you had the best hair in paleo. Closely followed by Haley Mason.
Oh, I think actually she probably has the best hair in paleo. That just, her hair is insane.
Her hair is like, both of you have pretty insane hair.
Oh my goodness. Gorgeous. Well, thank you. I felt super popular when you tweeted that. I was like, me?
I think that I actually blog posted like 3 years ago that I thought that you had the best booty in paleo as well. So you're kind of rocking it.
Well, that was a while ago. Since then, I'm just saying turning 30, like everything is starting to like fall lower than it used to be. I don't know.
Just a little something for the men to pick up and grab, Liz. I don't even know what just happened right there.
That's
all right. Moving on to my
I'm blushing and I didn't even say that.
I don't even know what just happened. It's Sunday night. We get punchy on the Paleo View when Liz Wolf is on. So let's talk about why I said that 3 years ago, first of all.
Okay.
For those people who don't know Liz Wolf, climb out from under the rock. Let us inform you. Liz has actually been on the Paleo View before. Monica link in the show notes to her podcast, but a lot has happened since then. Liz used to be Cave Girl Eats, is now Real Food Liz, and came out with the Awesome Skintervention Guide. Was that like the beginning of 2013?
Yeah, it was a little over a year ago. Is that 2013? Yeah. I'm on the Mayan calendar. I'm not really sure.
Just be careful because Mayan dollars are like 35 American dollars if you try to buy tchotchkes down there. So
inflation, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know.
So also, obviously, her most recent work is the phenomenal and well-received Eat the Yolks, which is an actual physical book as opposed to the Skintervention Guide, which is a wonderful eat book. Mm-hmm. So congratulations on your first book baby, Liz.
Thank you.
And if you love Liz as much as we do, you should catch her more on the Balance Bites podcast, where she's epically comic on a regular basis. So,
Liz, I just have to say, I honestly mostly tune in to the Balance Bites podcast now to listen about the like whatever the newest antics are on the homestead.
I've opened up a whole new world of like vlog and podcast fodder.
Oh my gosh. The whole like tick saga last year. I just like every week I was looking forward to hearing what was next.
Bated breath. Like, is she still alive or has she been consumed by what are they? Arthropods? I don't know. Ticks.
Ticks.
They're terrible. And it's getting warm again now. So I'm just like waiting to see the first one and see. We have our like three-pronged approach to natural tick management. And this is the first year we're really trying it out. So we'll see. If not, I may not leave the house for the foreseeable future.
That would not be good for your circadian rhythms.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So as I mentioned, quite a lot has changed for you in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. When we met you almost 4 years ago, maybe 3.5 years ago, because this is the very beginning of our paleo journey, I think. We met to see a screening of Farmageddon, which was in D.C.
Yes.
And I specifically remember having like a giant girl crush on you. I just thought you were the coolest, funniest blogger ever. And you... I don't know why you laughed at that, but whatever. So
I'm laughing at Liz laughing.
Yeah.
I still have a girl crush on Liz, so
I have a girl totally crush on you guys.
Sweet. Oh my God. Love fest.
Yeah.
So I like on some crazy whim nerve thing was like, hey Liz, do you want to come down and have dinner with us and then we'll go to Farmageddon together? And you were like so nice and didn't even remotely think for a second that we might be like crazy people.
Murderers,
like,
yeah.
And you were like, sure, I'd love to. And then we went and saw Farmageddon together and we enjoyed a meal at the house. It was like Polyface barbecue. I think it was pork backbone, actually.
Yep.
And then I specifically remembered the other day when I was writing the like intro to the post for you, and I went back and looked at your post on that visit on your blog, and Monica can put a link in the show notes, but so you basically blogged about coming in and visiting and seeing Farmageddon, and there was a picture of a piece of paper that Cole made for you that said what healthy foods were. Do you remember that?
I do. It was so cute, and I remember he ended it with period, like that's what's healthy. Period. Period.
And I think like apples and eggs.
Yeah.
Period. Maybe steak. There, I mean, it was like a really short list. And you thought that it was like the best thing ever. And I remember you sitting at the table and the kids like chowing down on some sort of greens, whatever it was, and like gnawing at meat on the bone. And you just thought it was the coolest thing ever. You were like, paleo kids are so cool.
I was like, this makes sense to me. See, like this is right. This makes sense.
So, ever since then, I've kind of felt like you're one of my original, you know, like the kid I grew up with in paleo. You know?
Oh, geez. So, old girlfriends.
For real. And during that visit, on the way back from Farmageddon, we were telling you about wanting to write something for the kids. And you totally peer pressured us into writing it like a dinosaur. And it wasn't even just in that car ride. Do you remember you followed up with an email like 2 weeks later and you were like, have you written Victory Belt yet? You need to write them and tell them that you want to write this book.
I followed up. That is very uncharacteristic.
I know. It was hardcore. It was like, oh, Liz is really serious. Like, I think like three people might want this book, but so I ended up writing a very self-deprecating email to Victory Belt, like, hey, you know, supposedly you guys might be looking for authors. I can't imagine why you would be remotely interested in us, but in case if you are, maybe we might be interested. And now look what's happened. So thank you, Liz.
Hey, sure thing. You did a great job, friend.
Oh. So now on to your awesomeness over that time that...
Are we not done talking about my awesomeness yet? I feel like we've saturated.
For sure not. So then after that, you know, Matt and I went off on our own thing and did what we were doing. And you ended up meeting up with Diane shortly after that. And you guys, I remember doing the Balance Weight Seminar in Philly and you were there and you guys, you know, were chowing on probably some organ meat of some kind at some dinner that we went to.
Definitely some bone marrow,
that's
sure.
What it was, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you guys started doing the podcast shortly after that, I think. So, and then from there, you started, like, becoming this awesome guru of all things nutrient dense. And just so you know, Sarah and I have totally co-opted your phrase of nutrient seeker. We think that it's, like, an amazing term that should be used in this community way more often. And, you know, watching you, like Sarah said, go on your adventures of homesteading and being a nutrient seeker and kind of rechanging who you are and what your focus is has been really refreshing in the community, I have to say. I know it was probably a really tough decision for you, but I think that it really shows a lot of integrity in terms of what your intention is and how you aim to help people. That, you know, you took a book that I know it was difficult to tell a publisher you weren't going to sell the title Modern mm-hmm. Cave Girl anymore, and you were going to change it to be what was really passionate to you and what made sense. And I think it speaks a lot about you and who you are. I mean, we joke that you're gorgeous and you're funny, but you really are a kind, insightful, and incredibly brilliant person who has a lot of integrity in the community that I respect immensely. So I am so grateful that you're here on the show today, and I could say all those wonderful things to all of the people that listen and to you, who I'm sure are going to say something self-deprecating, but at least I got it.
I've been sitting here like thinking like, what am I going to say to all this? This is like way too nice. Yeah. I do tend to deflect compliments, but I appreciate that very, very much. It means a lot to me. And I feel like now that I'm old, now that I'm 30, those things are important to me. I want to be true to myself, and I want to have integrity, whereas I think probably a decade ago, 5 years ago, I was probably a lot more wrapped up in what I felt I was supposed to be doing, or what, you know, other people wanted to see or hear or read or whatever, you know. So I appreciate that a lot, because I feel like I've come into my own and I'm happy with what I'm doing and what the future looks like. And I don't know that I could have said that 5-10 years ago, you know.
Yeah, 30's old.
It's so old.
So,
oh my
God. So old.
So sad. Third, fourth decade crisis. I'm just, but no, that means a lot to me. And you mentioned the whole modern cave girl to eat the yolks thing. And that was like, I think, the crux of kind of a crisis that I've been having for a couple of years, because I got this, you know, this book deal, and I pitched Modern Cave Girl, like sassy cave girl. And we did this amazing photo shoot in Pittsburgh, you know, meant to kind of reflect the paleo living in the concrete jungle type thing. And I was in this, you know, amazing leopard print skirt, and my hair was all done. And we were at the top of this building overlooking the city in Pittsburgh, which is just the coolest city. And the shoot was gorgeous. Haley from Primal Palette did my makeup, and our friend Sam did my hair, and it was so much fun. And I was like, this is, you know, people are going to love this. But then trying to write it, I was just, I couldn't do it, because it wasn't me. It was so much fun for that day. And at the time I felt like it was what could sell and maybe what people would really like, but it wasn't me. And it took a long time for me to come to terms with that and realize that I could either put out there exactly who I am and what's important to me, and maybe that wouldn't fit the established paleo mold, and I could do that and it would be true to myself and it could be something that I could maintain, you know, because if you're not being true to yourself, then everything just feels and looks and hears, it sounds disjointed, and, you know, it's not relatable. And I finally was like, all right, well, if everybody hates it, then I guess they hate it, but at least I'm not putting on airs. So that was a really, really tough moment in time for me, but it's been incredible. I've had so much amazing support from you guys and from the community, and just, it's been really humbling.
Well, and I think that what you ended up achieving by being true to yourself with Eat the Yolks is probably one of the best discussions about where paleo, you know, the types of things we're discussing as a community now in terms of evaluating food based on their nutritional value, mm-hmm. and where this movement needs to go in order to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. And I think you've not only condensed that sort of the little bits of debate here and there that have been going on for a couple of years that kind of all come under that theme, but you've, I think, focused the discussion in a way that we're really going to see the ripples of your book over the entire community and how it continues to develop over the next few years.
That means so much. And coming from you, like I follow your work just religiously. And it's kind of a funny term to use. I follow your incredible grasp of the science religiously. silliness. This is dumb. Matt, you can cut that out. Or not. But I follow your work, and to have somebody with such a scientific bent enjoy what I'm doing, which, you know, admittedly in my book, people have asked me, is it evidence-based? Is it science-based? And I'm thinking, well, yes, it is. But I also put in kind of the common sense angle, like the, maybe I can't find a controlled clinical trial to prove this thing to you, but I'm going to say it anyway, because it makes a hell of a lot of sense. And if I didn't say it, then maybe this idea wouldn't feel so accessible to folks that are really just looking for a broad and a general and a funny introduction to real food, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And the book really is funny.
Yay.
I laughed so hard. And then I found myself saying dietary territory over and over and over again.
Oh, I love that.
It's like my new favorite phrase.
There's a lot of assonance and alliteration and other, you know, like really probably cheap literary techniques in there, but I just love them.
And a lot of just plain old flippant remarks.
Yes. So me.
And one of the things, many, many things that we love about you, it's not just your hair and your booty.
Oh, thank you. Because I can't promise those will be around that much longer. Who knows?
You know, it's all downhill after 30.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, now, Sarah and I both posted before and after pictures of ourselves this week, and we look and feel way better in our 30s than we ever did in our 20s. I'll tell you that.
Well, I'm a hell of a lot happier now.
Yeah. Stacey, we were both morbidly obese in our 20s.
Hey, I'm trying to give her something to look forward to.
Okay. sexual peak at 36.
Sweet. I can't wait. What am I going to do for the 6 years until that happens?
Manage goats and guinea hens, right?
Yes. That's basically it. So that's kind of my bent really now, is not so much sustainability. I mean, yes, sustainability is really important, but for me, that process of working towards sustainability, and it's different for everybody, but I'm doing my best to figure out how to make my own food and be a little more self-reliant out here on the, you know, the hobby farm that we have now. We moved from New Jersey to Missouri, and we have a hobby farm and goats and chickens and guinea fowl, and we're trying to figure out how to be a little bit more self-sufficient, because what kind of started to occur to me being a paleo person was really, I think for a lot of us, this is where it goes, really wondering and wanting to know more about where our food is coming from. So where I used to think about just beef as something that comes in a package in the supermarket, then you start to learn about grass-fed beef and, okay, well, how does that work and who's my farmer and blah, blah, blah. And pushing the movement that way, you know, I think that's where we're going. And for me, it started to be a question of, well, what if all the supermarkets went away? What if there were no more Whole Foods? Or what if the military, which my husband is in the military, what if the military moves us to a place where there are no Whole Foods and there are no farmers markets, and I can't go get healthy, nourishing, nutrient-dense food grown in rich soil, you know, organically grown, and I can't get grass-fed beef, what am I going to do? Because I'm not going to be a breatharian. That's just ridiculous. And I tried that in college, and it didn't work. Well, because I was drinking a lot of beer. But I'm totally digressing. But this idea of realizing how fragile I think our food system really is, even the organic food system, especially depending on where you live in this country, and realizing it was important to me to learn how to raise and grow and produce the same foods that I'm eating as a paleo person, but now trying to grow them at home. So that's where I'm at now.
How is your climate for growing winter vegetables?
Well, we're going to find that out this year. We moved out here with big plans in the spring, but we came out here. I ordered so many seeds, it's insane and kind of embarrassing. But then we came out here and there were ticks, and so I couldn't leave the house.
Yeah, that actually really hampers the whole farming thing.
Yeah, definition of rude awakening. But I do think that we'll be pretty good for parsnips, which I'm excited about.
Cover up. Yeah, there's a irritant in the leaves. So when you're harvesting them, you can basically get like a poison ivy rash from the leaves. So just wear like long sleeves, gloves.
No, wait. Well, I'll do that anyway because I don't like bugs.
Because of the ticks. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, exactly. So there's an irritant in the leaves of parsnips. I found this out from a local farmer because I was telling her how much I loved her parsnips, and she was like, "Oh, thank you. There's so much work to harvest because the roots go down like 3 feet, so they're not like carrots. They don't just pop up out of the ground." And then she says, "And you know, in the heat, we have to like completely cover up because otherwise, we get these like poison ivy like rashes from the leaves."
That is well, maybe I could set the goats loose on them because they'll eat anything.
Yeah, that's a good strategy.
That might work. We had so much poison ivy out here when we first moved out here. You know, we bought in the winter and moved in around the springtime. And I remember as the movers were bringing our stuff into the house, there was this tick, and I had never even thought about ticks before, never in my life. And there was this tick that was crawling up the deck, and the mover goes, "Ooh, that's a tick. Ooh, you're gonna have to spray." And I was like, we came out here so we wouldn't have to use sprays and pesticides and machines and all this crazy stuff. And then, of course, he points out to me all the poison ivy that's everywhere all over our property and the poison this and the poison that. And I'm sitting there like, I'm going to cry. I'm crying right now. The movers are here and I'm crying. But so,
we had the same experience when we bought our house with the poison ivy. Not the ticks. We don't live in a tick area. But we had the same thing where like we had to have the soil regraded pretty soon after we moved the house because water was draining against the foundation. Mm-hmm. And the guy who regraded our soil was like, "Hope you're not allergic to poison ivy because all of this is poison ivy." And shortly after that, we discovered that my husband is extremely allergic and has systemic reactions to it.
Oh my, well, you need goats. I'll send one down.
Clearly. Yes, please.
I'll bring one down.
Oh my gosh, they
ate everything.
I love a goat.
They're so much fun, and I've seen that some.
Oh my gosh, I've seen your videos. It's saying that they're fun is an understatement.
Well, they're fun and also insane. And I don't know, you know, these are really sweet, sweet goats, but they are they're not so much high maintenance. Like they're fine on their own, but when you're around, they're like, "I am going to be with you. I'm going to climb you. I'm going to eat things off of your clothing and your hair, and we are best friends."
That's adorable.
Please don't
eat my clothes or hair way.
Yeah. In a don't eat me type of way. They're great. And they're pretty, I mean, really animals are not low maintenance, but for me, animals have been forgiving where plants have not been forgiving. And so it's made me appreciate even more animal food versus plant foods. And I spend a ton of time in Eat the Yolks talking about animal derived nutrition and how important it is. I really think for a lot of us, vegetables are like a luxury because they're not that easy to grow, and it's not easy to grow a lot of them. So this idea that we can just eat copious amounts of lettuce, to me, it's just like ridiculous. It just makes no sense. So, but that's a whole nother tangent.
I like lettuce.
I like it too. I do. But I mean, from a, like a caloric density perspective, it's so funny to me because we just live in this land of plenty, and it's like, oh, you can, and we want to cut calories and we want to eat lower calorie foods. And I posted about this, Sarah, I saw you posting about crickets, eating crickets the other day on Facebook. And I just got these cricket flour based protein bars from Exo, and they're amazing. And I posted something about them.
Is that from that Kickstarter?
Yes.
I should have joined that.
Oh, they're awesome. They're really, really good. We're going to have to talk at some point about me coming to visit you and doing a book signing or something. I'll bring you one.
Yes. Done.
Yes.
Done
but they're,
and done.
Okay. Well, I'm checking that off.
Yeah. All right. Party. I have a guest room and two pull-out couches. So
perfect.
we can, me and the goats. There you go.
Yeah.
I've got a fenced yard.
How tall is the fence?
Taller than me.
All right. We're good.
There's just one spot where we'd have to figure out how to make them not crawl into the neighbor's yard underneath.
You've got kids, right? Maybe we could just sit a kid in front of it.
Perfect. Perfect.
They hold still, right?
Yes. You just pick them up, you put them where you want them, and then they just stay there until the next time you go get them.
You just plop them down.
Totally.
Yeah. I totally forgot what I was saying. It was probably
stupid. Sorry. No, it was very awesome about crickets.
No, I can't even remember. I was talking about crickets. I don't remember why.
Nutrient density, eating animal foods, not eating lettuce.
No clue. Oh, the calorie thing. Yeah. I posted about these cricket flour protein bars and someone said, oh my goodness, 350 calories. And I was like, when did we decide that our food should have less in it? You know, like when you have a lot of calories and a small amount of food, that's actually a really good thing in 90% of the world. We're not sending lettuce over to, you know, underdeveloped countries. We're giving people goats so they can have really nutrient rich goat's milk, not like telling them to worry about calories. So this whole fear of calories to me is crazy, because really when we're eating calorie dense and nutrient rich food, we're getting a whole lot more out of a whole lot less. And it's just a strange way we've evolved.
And nutrient rich food just impacts the body so much differently. I think we're so used to like empty calories.
Yeah.
And so we think of this like calories in, calories out. And as soon as you change your mindset to thinking of nutrient dense calories, suddenly it becomes not about, you know, how many calories a food has, but how much nutrients it has. I'm so glad you like the cricket powder. Mine should be arriving, or the cricket bars. My cricket powder should be arriving this week. And I'm still not sure what I'm going to do with it. I'm a little bit scared. I've had anxiety dreams about it.
It's a powder, right? Like, you're not going to actually see the crickets.
Right. So in my dream, I was eating a crab apple, and I'm not quite sure why I was eating a crab apple. But I bit into it, and there was something like chewy inside that tasted like caramel. And I was in this like apple and caramel heaven. And then I looked inside the apple and saw that the inside was completely full of these like big chubby worms. And I realized that the thing that tasted like caramel was one of the worms. And in my dream, I had this huge conflict of, okay, I've already eaten one of these worms and I know they taste like caramel and they're super delicious. And I know that insects are really, really nutritious. But now that I can see it, I don't want to take another bite. And then I literally woke up in a sweat going like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can eat cricket powder.
Oh, our brains. It's funny.
Yes. I would like to shut mine off sometimes.
Can I ask you about the cricket powder?
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to put it in a smoothie or something, the way that someone would put it, protein powder in things? Like, I've seen protein powder in pancakes and like all over the place. Is that what it's intended to do?
Yes. So it is actually called cricket flour. So it's literally ground to be fine enough to be flour. So the idea is that you could bake with it, or that you could make a, you know, protein bar type thing with it, or that you could put it into smoothies. And I'm pretty confident saying that the first thing I'm going to try with it is putting it into a smoothie and trying to hide it with lots of kale and just see what happens.
Nutrients on top of nutrients.
Right. I mean, I'm really excited because it is such a nutrient-dense food, and it's a complete protein, and it's really, really rich in bone health minerals. And then the other thing it has is a type of fiber that the only fiber that you can get out of the animal kingdom is from insects and shellfish. And we don't often eat insects or the shells of shellfish. Mm-hmm. So it's actually something that may be like really, really beneficial from a gut health perspective. There's been a few types of studies done on this type of fiber. It's called chitosan. And we can actually make chitosan fiber in the laboratory from chitin fiber, and it's this chemical reaction, which like I don't like the whole synthetic thing, but there's actually been some talk about creating fiber supplements from this sort of synthetic version of it. I'm like, why don't we just eat the real thing?
Right.
Especially, so Stacy introduced me by accident to deep fried fish heads last weekend.
That's weird and something a paleo person would say.
And so yesterday when I was at my local Whole Foods talking with my fishmonger, I call him my fishmonger because I walk in and he goes, Sarah, and I say, Manny, and we get all happy. I mentioned my desire to try deep frying fish heads at home. And he said, if you can come back tomorrow, I'll have some fish heads for you. And then we started talking about other things that you can deep fry. And it turns out that you can deep fry shelled, like with the shell still on, shrimp. And he had some. So I brought it home and deep fried them. It was like 5 minutes. And then it turns the shell into this like crunchy outer layer. It's like why would you bother battering? They come naturally at the crunchy bit on the outside. I don't understand why you would peel that nutrient-rich shell off and then throw batter on it, because it was so good and the inside was so flavorful. I will never eat shrimp cooked any other way again. Well, unless someone else prepares it. I will never cook shrimp any other way again. It was so awesome. And apparently you can do that with crab. You can do that with lobster. Like the deep frying makes the shell brittle enough that you can just crunch through it and chew it. And then you're getting all of those minerals. It's like, and it's deep fried. It's like the best of everything.
I love that I get credit for you liking deep fried fish heads, because I'm pretty sure the scenario when something like I take you to great sushi place and tell you there's weird stuff there and you get all excited that there's weird stuff and we order what we think is the weird stuff, but turns out that there's foods not even on the menu that are way even weirder. And because we're sitting at the sushi bar, Sarah sees deep fried fish head and she's like, hey, waiter, where do I get one of those?
And I believe it went something like, would you like some? And Sissy goes, I'll try the bones. And then I just grab the head and dive in.
And I will say, it's the first time I've ever eaten fish bones and been okay with it, because I have a real textural problem. We make a lot of jokes on the show because Sarah and one of her daughters really likes the whole salmon, like the canned salmon with the skin and bones in it. And sardines. And like, I can't do it. I've tried.
Liz is my sardine sister.
I know she is.
Totally.
I know. But like, I have tried and I just can't. There are some things that just you don't like, you know? And like, one of my sons just really doesn't like beets, and one of them just really doesn't like eggplant. I really don't like fish with bones in them. So it was a big thing for me to be able to eat like the body of the fish with the bones in it. And one of them did get me in the gums, but I forgave it. So.
I thought it was better than like sweet potato chips. Like it had that like...
Because you're crazy hardcore. I mean, I don't want to like oversell here. It's not quite sweet potato chips.
I loved it. But you know, what I really have found, especially in the last year, is that my food reward system now fires off with really, really nutrient-dense foods. And there just comes like... This afternoon, I was just like, I think I'll have a can of oysters with my lunch. And I ate the first one, and then I swear I ate the rest of the can in about 20 seconds. Like, it just hit all of the, oh my gosh, this is the best thing I've ever eaten, like, dopamine response. And I think it's because I've gotten so much better at my body understanding what's nutrient dense and what I need and what's going to make me healthier, compared to before where every single signal was just misinterpreted as hunger.
That is phenomenal. That is so cool, because I really think a lot of times people are so convinced that this will always be a process of eating food that they don't like.
I love things now that I detested 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We did a 1 year anniversary show, Liz. And when we pulled episodes from like the first few podcasts that we'd done for like best of clips, Sarah was saying in the clips like, oh, I can't stand kidneys. And then like 1 year later, she became the kidney woman and was trying to convince me that lamb kidneys were the best thing she ever ate. Like literally in the course of 1 year.
Well, they were until I tried deep fried fish heads.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
So it's like on record that it can happen. You can totally do it. And you know, there are things that I really like that I don't think are quite as far on the spectrum as Sarah, but I'm getting there. I did write a nose to tail cookbook, but it's not like I don't have a dopamine response to nutrient-rich foods. I wish I did. I really have an opiate-like response to, like, paleo key lime pie. Like, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, I have that, too. It's not so much that it's replaced. It's more in addition to.
Yeah. Okay, so can I back up for a second? Because you guys brought up a topic that's really interesting to me, and so I want to go off on a tangent for a minute.
This whole show is tangents.
I know.
Yeah.
It's cool, right? That's what we
do.
So Liz, do you know that I'm like training for a competition? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know. I don't even know where to start. I need you out here to haul some stuff around for me, actually, if you have some time.
Cool. Yeah. I'll get right on that.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things that's been really interesting to me that we've talked a lot about on the show is how much my body positively responds to apparently collagen. Like, I'm not just going to say gelatin, I'm going to say collagen. Because in particular, I have a couple of personal health issues that I think it responds to, one of which Sarah and I keep promising that we're going to talk about in a science segment on an upcoming show, but genetically in my family, we have a specific autoimmune condition that needs our cell walls in our gut to regenerate, which the gelatin collagen helps with. I was obese for a really, really long time, and arthritis runs in my family, and I definitely have some joint damage. And I also don't have a gallbladder, so I have difficulty properly digesting food. And I think with all those three things combined, like, my body only efficiently runs on, like, daily bone broth or gelatin in some sort of fashion. So I bring this up specifically because I mentioned before, like, oh, since training, I've realized how much more I need gelatin. And I don't think I've been very clear in what that means. And we were talking about the protein powder. This is where my random tangent comes from. But a second ago, I thought it was interesting because Sarah mentioned that the cricket powder was a complete protein that she could put in a shake. And I mentioned before that the gelatin was a protein that I sometimes put in shakes. I sometimes make jigglers. I sometimes add it in a cup of broth to make it even more gelatinous to have for breakfast or whatever. But it's not a complete protein or a complete amino acid the way that kind of Sarah has described before in terms of fish being the best and most easily digestible. And I forget what show that is. Do you even remember, Sarah? Where we went through, like, the ideal proteins?
No, I think it was like a tangent in some show.
Good luck, Monica.
Tangent.
So, it's kind of like a collision of different worlds for me because this morning, Stephanie from Stupid Easy Paleo, who also wrote the ebook, The Paleo Athlete, and who I think the world of, and I love to follow her, and she's like one of the people on Instagram that as soon as she posts, I'm like, oh, what's she doing? And so she wrote a post this morning about gelatin not being a good post-workout shake. And it got me, like, really interested in thinking, which sadly doesn't happen as often as I would like.
You don't get interested in thinking very often.
Well, you know, just sometimes, like, the paleo community, I'm like, yeah. Like, I either know that or somebody's fighting about how red meat doesn't cause cancer. And it's like, I heard that. I don't need to hear it anymore. You know, like,
I've got kids to feed. Exactly. I got goats to deal with.
I got tires to flip. I got kids to play Legos with. Like, I don't have time for red meat causing cancer. So it's really fascinating to me this morning that she put together a post that talked about the different amino acids. And specifically, she did mention exactly what I'm saying about gelatin and collagen, which is that it can help with joint repair and ease digestion, which are, I think, the most important things for me and why they matter. But that in terms of, like, adding it to a post-workout smoothie, if you were trying to, like, you know, Sarah and I also talked about that mythical 20 to 30 minute window probably not being a true thing on a previous podcast. But let's say if someone did think that that mythical 20 to 30 minute window after a workout, they needed to have a shake, the gelatin in the smoothie wouldn't be the same kind of protein replacement that, like, eating, well, fish or chicken or whatever, but even, like, whey protein or egg white protein or something would have. And I just thought it was really interesting, and I wanted to point people to that article because I don't want to believe that I've misled people into what I recommend kind of pre and post workout. I specifically don't recommend anything. I try to tell people I have specific conditions and this is what works for me. But I was really interested because that cricket powder protein could be something that I could use post workout because, as we've talked before, an autoimmune, I can't do whey or egg white. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of difficult post workout because I need time to ease digestion for like an actual food that I digest or that isn't pre-digested. So, I want to know more about that, how that cricket powder works out for you, Sarah, so that I can get it in that action if it's less scary than a fish head.
apparently it has a very like buttery, almost pecan-y like flavor.
Yeah.
Which sounds good.
Russ said his bar tasted really good. So that's what you said too, Liz, right? That you
like. Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're neutral at worst and tasty at best, I would say.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So total tangent.
It'll be like a challenge to see what happens with the cricket powder. I've been not really, like, I have the same things. I'm doing such intense workouts right now that I really don't want anything for hours. But typically, like, between the 1 to 2 hours after, I start to really need something. So I've been having, like, homemade smoothies, and what I've been putting in them is hydrolyzed beef plasma protein.
How do you even find out about these things?
The internet.
Yeah, it's the internet.
The Google. Let me Google that for you, Stacey.
It's the internet. It's science.
It's totally science.
That's everything. It's science.
And what's cool about that is you get the branched chain amino acids that you need post-workout, but you're also getting a lot of joint health and blood health, go figure, type amino acids. So you're kind of getting like the best of both worlds. And what's, I think when people are talking about protein post-workout, I think one of the things that becomes really, really helpful, because your digestion is hindered for pretty much as long as your cortisol is up, and your cortisol is up longer if you've worked out harder, whether that's endurance, like, you know, marathon training, or if it's strength training, like the cortisol spike after working out, you know, it height and how long that spike lasts is related to how hard you worked out. I mean, kind of makes sense. But for as long as that cortisol spike is high, then your digestion is hindered. So that's where the research, which really is not very cut and dry, but it shows that having a hydrolyzed protein, because the amino acids are broken apart, so they're passively absorbed. You don't need to have as much, you know, digestive enzymes secreted into the small intestine to absorb them, can help repair more easily than a non-hydrolyzed protein. But then there's a lot of controversy about whether or not you need to do anything, because basically the body will repair itself. And if you are having a nutrient-dense diet and you eat at some point, you're giving your body what it needs. So I think we talked about this before, where the research in post-workout and pre-workout and during workout nutrition is really all over the map. And there really aren't actually any really good answers about what's optimal for muscle repair or recovery after a workout. But there, it does seem to be, if you're going to do something pretty soon after, and it makes sense to me that a hydrolyzed protein, where that basically just means that they've processed the protein to break apart all the amino acids rather than your body having to break apart the amino acids. It makes sense that would be more easily absorbed and require, I mean, you know, it would be easily absorbed even if your digestion wasn't working optimally. So, you know, on the market, the only beef plasma protein out there is hydrolyzed. It's not like I had a choice of hydrolyzed versus non-hydrolyzed. And because I can't do egg white or whey, and I'm not about to touch pea protein or hemp protein with a 10-foot pole, that was sort of like my option until cricket powder. And it's actually been working out fairly well for me. I mean, I don't really have a huge sample size to compare it against. But I'm kind of going by what feels good. And typically what feels good to me is to not eat right away. Like, I wait at least an hour after working out before I have anything. I just don't want anything. Like, I really don't want anything. Maybe water. Maybe I'll have water. And then usually around that mark, I kind of feel like something, but I really don't want solid food yet. And that's when that sort of post-workout smoothies comes in for me.
You know what? I really like working out when because as I've mentioned before, I work out for a long time. When I'm there for like 2 or 3 or more hours, like I need something halfway through because I can feel my blood sugar dropping and kind of, you know, not feeling my best. My favorite snack lately while I'm there is pork rinds.
Yummy. Pork rinds.
I guess because they're so airy, they're really easy for me. I don't have any problem digesting them. And I think my body really likes the saltiness too, because it helps me kind of retain water rather than sweating it out or something. I don't know. Whatever. It's like my favorite workout snack. I get made fun of at the gym, but it's fine.
Everybody... Your workouts are a very, very, very different pace from mine.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry, Liz. Oh, come.
Why? What are you sorry? I'm taking notes right now.
Total tangent. I
just tend to think that our workout, our post, pre, and peri-workout hunger signals are what they are for a biological reason. And for the most part, I think, I'm not like a hard charging athlete at all. These days, I'm much more inclined towards just stuff that I like to do. Like, I'll just go to the garage gym and I'll practice some, you know, handstand walking and I'll dance around. I literally will dance around to Conga by Gloria Estefan, like on repeat for an hour if I want to, just, you know, so at this point, that's basically what I'm into. But when I was more inclined toward performance and working with a lot of athletes, I just had this sense that our hunger signals are what they are for a reason. You can only override them in a certain number of ways. And some of those ways aren't technically, quote, paleo. But I always had this issue with, hey, you know, just do chicken breast and sweet potato immediately post-workout because, you know, practitioners and those of us that are nerding out on this stuff a lot, we know that your digestive capacity, as Sarah said, is just totally shut down in a period post-workout. And that amount of time varies based on the workout and based on the person and et cetera, et cetera. And I just think there's this point where what we think is making a difference, you know, if we really feel that there's a difference when we do or do not implement immediate post-workout nutrition, that's great. Do it. But I think for a lot of people, it's more not so much a placebo effect, but people doing things because they think they're supposed to and not necessarily having a whole lot of solid scientific basis for the effects of, say, having whatever it is immediately post-workout. So to me, I don't recommend usually that my athletes that I've worked with do a whole source of protein immediately post-workout. I love raw milk. Raw milk is a rich source of leucine, so you've got the BCAAs there, but not everybody can do that. Not a lot of people you know, want to do that, and not a lot of people want to do protein shakes, et cetera, et cetera. But you can't always fit like this square peg into this round hole of paleo if you're trying to push the boundaries of human performance. Because in ancestral times, if you had a tough day running away from a mastodon and, you know, the boulder fell in front of your cave and you had to push it away, too bad, so sad. Let's hope you can run down a monkey and have some meat to eat later for your BCAAs or whatever. But it's just one of those things where we're trying to tweak ancestral patterns to fit our modern desires. And we can't always make sense of that stuff. Again, tangent. There you go.
I love your way with words, though. Thank you.
Oh, shucks.
Oh.
Thanks.
I'm just thinking about eating a monkey.
Oh, gosh. I know. I don't know why I said monkey.
Yeah, I know. This seems so, like, cannibalism-ish.
Yeah, it does.
Although monkeys do cannibalize each other, so I guess
no.
Okay.
Oh, no, I, like, saw it on a nature show.
Moving on.
Right. Monkeys are mean, P.S. Monkeys can be very mean. I was going to say turkeys because we're going to raise our turkeys this year for Thanksgiving, but I was like, Paleo Man didn't have bourbon reds. They didn't have turkeys.
I said monkeys. Okay, so Liz, now that our listeners have a sense of your awesomeness.
I was going to say something else, but okay.
Can you give us what I should have asked you to give us at the beginning of the show, but I'm going to pretend like I totally meant to give it now, which is your, like, elevator pitch to everyone about kind of what it is you're really into, what your goals are, what Eat the Yolks is kind of about, what you want them to know about you, so to speak, in 10 words or less. No big deal. No, I'm kidding.
NBD. That's so hard. I already did. Oh, shoot. I'm already over my word limit. The reason I had to write a book is because I'm really bad at elevator pitches. So I needed 80,000 words to say what I wanted to say. That's basically
your
that.
100-word description of paleo, though, is like,
oh, for
awesome
sure.
Sauce.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That one. And that was completely not my idea. That was, I did a lot of work with Steve's Paleo Goods and Steve's Club National Program. I always love to plug them because they're my peeps when I was in New Jersey. And Steve, who's like the head caveman at Steve's Paleo Goods, was like, hey, I would love for you to create a good nutrition in 100 words, like shareable. And I was like, dang, this is really a good idea. And of course, I spent like 2 weeks trying to pare it down from 1,000 words because, again, I'm not good with brevity at all. But what we ended up with, I thought was pretty good. And I ended up putting it in the book at the very end. You can, I can't recite it word for word, but if you can, feel free to share it in the show notes.
It's right in front of me.
Do it. Do it. Read it.
Nutrition in 100 Words by Liz Wolf. Seek real, nutrient-filled food as close to its natural state as possible. Whole, unprocessed, unmodified, and unrefined. Pretend the modern supermarket doesn't exist. Choose foods that could be hunted or gathered, food that has always been food. Support local, responsible producers. Eat vegetables and fruit. Eat meat and fat from properly raised animals, eggs, and seafood. Enjoy cold-pressed oils and plants rich in healthy fats like coconut, avocado, and olives. Drink water. Incorporate superfoods, fermented vegetables and beverages, homemade bone broth, and organ meats, if you dare. Above all, ditch obsessive behavior and diets. Question conventional wisdom. Eat real food.
And now you're Real Food Liz. It all comes together.
It does. That's pretty much my elevator pitch, but I think, Stacey, I know you and I agree on this. It's mostly about getting rid of the crap. I think that's 95% of the battle for most people, getting rid of processed foods, or as Sarah would say, processed foods.
I love that avocado was in your 100 words. It's my favorite word that she says.
Oh my God. How did you say it?
Avocado.
Avocado. Yeah. I noticed that too. I loved it.
See,
but that's the thing.
And I don't even hear the difference. You say, I don't know. What did you say?
Avocado. Avocado.
How is that different from what I'm saying?
It's very subtle.
No, it's not subtle at all.
Avocado, yeah.
Avocado.
But that's pretty much it.
Oh, you say avocado.
Avocado.
Avocado. I could totally sound, I don't even know what I sound. I sound like my oldest daughter pretending to do an accent that just sounds stupid. And we would never use the S word in this house. I'm just doing it because the kids are asleep.
So, Liz, can you extrapolate on what, kind of do your 100-word pitch on what Eat the Yolks is or is about?
Eat the Yolks is about unlearning all the crap we've been taught since we were born about food. So, you know, it's not a recipe book. It's not a really hard look at the science. Both of you all have a handle on those things and you do them incredibly well. I don't as much, but what I was really interested in putting that book together was about the history of nutrition and all the BS that happened from about 1950 on to make us afraid of real food. And a lot of it is pretty funny and sad, but funny. So I'm kind of blending history with common sense and, you know, a broad look at the science and what the science does and actually does not show, and also hopefully giving people an idea of what the science and they did a study and a study was done, what words like that actually mean, because I think we're too often taken in by just bad information spun in 10 different ways and vomited out in the media. You know, this whole red meat as bad as smoking thing is just a, you know, fourth-hand account of some associative conclusions drawn from a study that is pretty much fundamentally flawed. So, you know, but people don't realize that. When we hear they did a study, we immediately believe whatever comes after that. And we shouldn't. So that's not an elevator pitch, but the whole idea is looking at food the way we tend to look at it. So it's broken up into fat, protein, carbs, nutrients, and calories, and then subsections like Kellogg's flaccid flakes and things like that. So just looking at how we got here and how we can start unlearning all this conditioning that we've gone through that has taken us from real nutrient-rich food, like nutrition in 100 words food, to fake food, worrying about calories, being obsessed with dieting, and being really unhappy and confused about food.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's that.
So, with that said, did we miss anything that you want to share with our audience? I mean, I highly recommend that people listen to more of you over at the Balanced Bite podcast and check out your blog and your book, Eat the Yolks, and we'll have links to everything in the show notes. But did we miss anything? How's Cave husband doing out on the homestead?
Oh, he's just out here being a handsome badass. Can I say badass?
Probably not.
Okay, I'll say something different. He's just out here being a handsome farmer by evenings and a military man and a really cute uniform by day. So he's doing well. Our dog's doing well. The goats are doing well. Everything is shaping up in a just a really peaceful and wonderful way. I'm recovering from finishing the book and trying to get all that lined up. It's tough. Sarah, I know you were talking about kind of recovering after being finished with your book, and it's a process.
I'm still recovering, and I'm finishing the second book, so it's not like real recovering. It's kind of trying to recover while I also don't completely shirk all my other responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And I actually went to a functional medicine specialist this week for a full evaluation. Like, I hit the point where, like, okay, I'm doing as much as I can, and I know how to do right now, and I'm at a point where, like, I'm doing everything I know what to do, and mm-hmm. there's something still off, and it's time to pull in the experts. And I found a really great functional medicine specialist who is an MD. He was an emergency medicine doctor for 20 years.
Wow.
So he's got a really amazing perspective. And then what's great is that we can combine this sort of more holistic and functional medicine approaches with conventional medicine, if that's what's required for me, because I'm at a point where I think we're going to need a kind of joint attack front. And it's not like the wheels are completely off the bus. Like, clearly I'm functional and my mouth still works, my brain mostly. But I just kind of feel like things aren't right. And I really, moving forward, want to make sure that I'm protecting myself from the same kind of crash that I had after getting the paleo approach to the cookbook. Because that whole book writing thing is no joke.
It's not. And you can't know until you've done it. I remember Diane telling me, like, she was just wrecked after Practical Paleo. And I remember being like, dude, you wrote words and you worked really hard, but a lot of people work really hard. I didn't really think this, but thinking to myself when I was writing my book, like, you're working really hard, but this should not be anything different from the hard work everybody else does. And it's probably not, but I guess in some ways it's like you're putting yourself out there to a point that maybe stresses you mentally and emotionally in ways you don't exactly realize, which is different, I think, from when I used to go to my 9-to-5 and do the work that somebody else had asked of me to the best of my ability, and then I went home, versus like I'm putting my heart and soul into something that is then going to be out in the world for people to look at and interpret, and it has to be exactly what it needs to be. There's a lot of stress there.
And there's no going home from it. Like it's,
right. Yes,
it's
right.
with you always. And I think that's one of the things about, for me, you know, basically being a work at home mom now, like a hobby that turned into a job kind of by accident. And I work in all of the spaces of my day. So
yes.
I work when the kids are at school, but I also work when they're playing nicely. I work when they're doing their homework and I'm, you know, oh, well, I'll just stand beside you and in between giving you your spelling list, I'll, you know, do something over here. And I think that, you know, for real mental health, space in the day is probably a really important thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't have that space anymore. So I need to figure out, you know, I'm really at a point where I'm trying to figure out how to downsize, not what I'm doing and not my projects, but my, partly my time investment in them. I mean, by finding really great people who can do various parts of it, but also the emotional toll that
yes.
requires and the emotional investment. I'm trying to sort of dissociate myself emotionally so that it's not, because I'm a very heart on my sleeve kind of person, and I put so much of myself in everything that I do, so that if one person doesn't like a Facebook post, like it really hurts.
All day it hurts.
Right. It really yeah. does. So I'm trying to sort of put a bit of a wall, not between me and connecting with my readers or my fans, but where, you know, somebody, you know, getting upset about something, because you can't please everybody all the time. And as much as I say that, I still want to be able to do it. But really trying to just have a more, you know, an attitude that protects me a little bit more effectively.
I understand. And that's a tough thing to come around to say, I can't figure all of this out and maintain at the level that I feel everyone deserves going forward. And so you have to start assembling that team or shifting, you know, the way you're doing some things to make that work. And you're relinquishing some, not control, but you're relinquishing some responsibility, I think, that is very sacred. And so that's tough. It's tough to kind of to shift that around, and it's stressful. And you just can never imagine feeling bonded to 100,000 people, which that's, you know, that's how many people are on my Facebook page now. I feel with every, you know, new uptick in Facebook likes, I feel like, oh my gosh, I have the ability to reach that many people. Holy, holy moly, I'm going to go crawl under the covers. I can never meet the expectations of that many people. But the cool thing is, this is such an amazing community, and the direction we as a community are going, paleo, real food, whatever you want to call it, is so positive that really it's just all good things. It's just figuring out how to best avail yourself of all of the good things without getting too bogged down.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I know Stacey's battled with this too. It sort of feels like it's a moving target sometimes. So I'm hoping to get to a place in the not too distant future where I feel a little bit more stable in what my role is versus what I have my assistants doing versus what I have my consulting company doing. And can I announce that my consulting company launched yesterday?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness.
So for those listeners who maybe aren't following my blog or subscribe to my newsletter, I launched a consulting company yesterday, which will be like almost last week by the time this airs. It's called The Paleo Mom Consulting, and you can get all of the information at thepaleomomconsulting.com. But I've hired 4 amazing women who will actually be able to, I think, fill a void that really needs to be filled. There are so many people out there who really need that personal interaction with an expert who can help them experiment and help them customize and help them figure out what's going on with them. Somebody who can work, you know, with their doctors and they're offering a variety of packages from a simple like 1 hour consultation if, you know, things are going fairly well for you, but you just have a lot of questions and you don't need to go through the whole work of like a full history, to a full 6 month package where you're going to get complete, you know, customization and follow up, and sort of that whole, you know, person who's there for you through the whole process. And I also have a functional medicine specialist who can do evaluations and order tests and help with sort of more complex cases where those kinds of things are going to be helpful. So we've had an overwhelmingly huge response. So hopefully by the time this airs, there will still be some spots for new clients. I know it's filling up. But there will be a wait list. So if you go and there are no spaces, you can go on the wait list. And the wait list is first come, first serve. So that is a huge new venture and yet another thing to be emotionally wrapped up in.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing, though. And Ms. Trescott, she's involved with that, right?
Yes. Mickey Trescott. Who's a nutritional therapy practitioner. I know. Isn't she awesome?
Yes. I love her. She's my friend. She doesn't know it. She's my friend.
Also, Angie.
She doesn't know it.
She, no. I think, is listening right now and doing like a fist pump in the air. She's like, yes. So hanging out at PaleoFX is going to happen.
Yeah.
Angie Alt from Alternative Autoimmune, who is amazing. And she's a certified health coach. Amy Kubal, who I'm sure you all know, is our registered dietitian, and Ann Angelone is our functional medicine specialist. She's an acupuncturist with all the functional medicine extra coursework stuff.
Fabulous.
So those are my consultants, and they're all awesome. I was very, very I feel really fortunate to sort of, I feel like I scored, like, yes. With each person that I asked, I was like, oh, you know, this would just be so much more magical if, and I'm not going to name names, if this person would join us. And then they said yes. And then there was a lot of like happy dancing around my kitchen while I was putting all this together. So yeah, so I'm very, very excited. And I really think that there's, you know, it's a way of helping individuals that I just can't do. I mean, I can't do because it would be completely illegal for me to do it. But I also can't do it from a sort of a time commitment and all of the other things that I have going on perspective either. That and the illegalness.
That, you know what I got going on?
What do you got going on?
By the time the show airs, I'm going to have the most ginest butterflies in my belly because I will be doing my strongman competition this weekend.
Oh my gosh, it's already this weekend.
So the next time we podcast, I'm going to be talking about how sore I am.
You're going to be flying so high from all of the cool, strongest stuff that you do. I was telling, somebody was asking me about, it was my oldest, was asking me about, like, well, can Miss Stacy flip a tire? And I'm like, are you kidding me? She picked it up and she just flipped it, like all the way across the room and then turned around and flipped it all the way back across the room. Like, I don't know, it's like five or six times each way. And I just barely managed to flip it three times and then I couldn't like walk the next day. So, yeah, you're going to rock it.
Thanks. I was pretty stoked this weekend. We did our Strongman Saturday or whatever. And I was training with two guys and it was the 500 pound tire down the like 80 foot stretch. And then the 350 pound tire, as many as you could until time ran out and you had 75 seconds. And I got done with the 500 pound tire at the 40 second mark. And the other two guys got done with the 500 pound tire at the 45 second mark.
Sweet.
And then gosh.
And then I did more of the 350 tires, both because I had more time and because I'm hardcore. So that was pretty awesome. And then I also posted a video on Instagram of lifting a 232 pound Atlas stone, which I'm still kind of like in shock that I lifted that thing.
Oh
so,
my gosh.
And Liz, I know you don't do that stuff now, but you're totally one of my inspirations to actually try out CrossFit to begin with. And even though I'm not currently CrossFitting anymore, like, I think we all come to a place of fitness and health and we figure out what works for us or whatever. So after meeting you, I told Matt, I was like, okay, when I'm able, like, I'm totally going to try CrossFit because I need that happening on my lower region.
I must have been wearing a good pair of jeans that day.
And now, if you have a tractor that needs to be moved, Stacy could totally just pick it up and move it for you.
I could. That's what I love about this strong woman stuff and following your journey with that. And I think CrossFit is such a great gateway for so many other things. You realize, like, wow, women can lift stuff. Wow, this is fun. I like being strong. And then a couple years back, I went out to Polyface Farm to, I guess, kind of try out for an internship there. I ended up taking my name out of consideration. Who knows what would have happened? I think that I performed well, but the military life kind of intervened with that. But I went out there and they put us to work just to see, you know, what we could do. And all day, one day, we were cutting up giant trees and lifting, basically clean and jerking giant tree stumps. And every time I see these pictures of you, Stacy, moving these heavy things around, I always think of these tree stumps. And I'm like, that is like real world stuff translated into the gym versus the other way around. And that's what I love about it. It's so translatable. And I need, like I said, I need you to come out here and just help me with some stuff because there's a lot of heavy stuff out here and I can't do it myself.
I would love an excuse to come meet your goats.
Oh my gosh. It's fun. It's fun out here.
Well, it's been fun having you on the Paleo View.
Thanks for having me.
Like I said at the beginning of the show, it got 800 times more funny when you joined. and we'll miss not having you here next week, but thank you so much for coming and for everything that you're doing for the community. It was great to speak with you again. I miss you.
I miss you too.
Your internet connection is not so great on the homestead, so I've seen you around less often, but I love it when, like, we do the group text stuff because whenever somebody says something, even though it's like 3 days later, by the time you respond, you always come back with something brilliant.
It takes a while.
It's like the wind has to blow.
To the
exactly.
Power. Yeah.
Exactly. The wind has to blow in just the right direction for you to get a text. But so thanks so much. And it was great talking to you. And I'm sure our listeners are totally fascinated with what you have going on. And I just encourage everyone to check out Liz and her stuff.
Oh, and if you haven't, if you're not sure about the book, I put up at eattheyolks.com. It's just the book website. There's at least a 20-page preview of the book. You can see the table of contents and everything like that. So I don't want you to go into the Eat the Yolks book blind. Go check that out and see what it's all about. And by the way, thanks both of you for the work that you guys do. You're doing awesome stuff.
Aw, thanks. Right back at ya.
Love you.
Oh, and so ends the love fest.
All right, it's zombie times, lady. I gotta go.
All right, well, have a good night. I'll talk to you next week.
For real.
Bye, ladies.
Bye, Liz.
Bye. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Paleo View. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes. You can also support us by shopping for our favorite paleo products on the sidebars of our individual websites or by donating through PayPal. So do you want me to say howdy doodly again?
This call just got 800 times more funny.
A million times better. Wait, I have to say something really quick to my husband. Hey, sweetheart, the guineas are in with the goats now.
So let me give you fair warning about the show. You've been on the show. Have you been on the show before?
She's yeah, but I don't remember.
Okay.
It was so long ago and I was in my, it was long. I was like 29 then.